So the Carolina Chocolate Drops' Rhiannon Giddens has had a pretty busy winter. She was the lead female vocalist for T-Bone Burnett's The New Basement Tapes. She collaborated with Iron and Wine's Sam Beam on a Bob Dylan cover for NBC's Parenthood. And she's now making her solo recording debut with Tomorrow Is My Turn. She had some free time to talk with me about her high-profile collaborations, her new record, and the future of the Carolina Chocolate Drops. Can you talk about how that came about, how you were on the series finale of Parenthood and how you duetted with Iron and Wine on a Bob Dylan cover?
Well, I believe one of the folks who does the music for that show was at the one-off Basement Tape show that we did in L.A. at the Montalban Theater in the middle of our promo week. That was a project with Elvis Costello and Marcus Mumford where we set old Dylan lyrics to music. From what I understand, the folks who did the music for that were in the middle of thinking about who they wanted to redo the theme song, and they already had a fellow in mind, and they decided when they saw me there. That's what I understand, and it all happened very quickly after that. It was pretty amazing.
What were your thoughts about Parenthood before then? Like, personally, I've never seen an episode. I know about it because it's, you know, it's been on for a little while and they've had some great stars and guest stars on it. But were you a fan of the show? Did you know much about the show and its music before getting on it?
I didn't know much about the show. I just knew that there were people who really loved it and it had a really good following. And I kind of heard about it, you know, over the years. But I don't watch a lot of TV. We don't have one. And I just don't generally have the time, so I follow very few things. But when I went, you know, of course you want to go look up something that you might be involved in, and I went and looked it up. And, you know, when you get an offer to do something that you don't know a lot about, and it's, you know, maybe something for TV, and then you go look it up, and you're like, oh, that looks like something that's cool to be involved in. You know, it's not like a show where maybe I wouldn't watch it or something. You know, it was like a really wholesome thing that, you know, people really liked, and it was all about families, and so it just seemed like a really cool thing to be involved in. And I know it was a very emotional finale. You know, I was crying. I didn't even know the characters that well, you know. So it was really neat to be a part of it.
So when they told you, like, you know, you were going to set you up with Sam Beam and the Iron and Wine, what were your first thoughts about that? I mean, this was, I guess, the first time you all have kind of collaborated.
Yeah, I know. I was super excited because, like, you know, we sort of passed, you know, I think, like, we've been next to each other at a festival or, you know, we've done that sort of touring, you know, past each other in the night kind of thing. And I'd known about him and I'd heard of some of his stuff. Always knew he was a really good musician and a great singer. I'm so into collaboration and I'm so into singing with people. And, you know, so it was really, when that came up, you know, that's what it was going to be. I was just like, you know, awesome. And then when they said it was Joe Henry going to produce it, I mean, he's one of my favorite people on the planet. So it was just kind of a no-brainer.
And you mentioned the New Basement Tapes, which I've been playing on my show recently. It was great. I love that. I don't know. I could almost call it like a super group. I mean, you know, between all of you collaborating, Marcus Mumford, you know, you, Elvis Costello, and then, of course, T-Bone Burnett was producing it. And that was just brilliant. I'm just wondering, T-Bone Burnett did produce that record, and he also is producing or produced your upcoming solo debut. Was that how you got involved with that project, through him?
Yeah, it was definitely through him. I mean, I think, you know, we had done the show in the fall of 2013 called Another Day, Another Time concert in New York, and that's kind of where the solo record came from. And then as we were talking about the solo record, you know, he mentioned, and there's this other thing I'm working on. I think you'd be good at, you know, if you're interested. And it was kind of like we started having these conversations about this thing, you know, and then as it was coming together, then sort of it became solid, you know, later. But yeah, it was just kind of like, you know, that's what he does. He's kind of like director of air currents or something. Like, you know, he's just, he puts these things in motion and then it just like starts happening. It's really amazing. I've been like in his world now for the past year and it's been really amazing to watch.
So with that record for the New Basement Tapes, were you able to pick out which song you wanted to do? Or did T-Bone say, I think this is going to be perfect for you, why don't you do this one?
You know, he just, what he did is he gave all of us the same thing. He gave all of us a set of lyrics. And in leaving it up to sort of what, you know, letting it happen, he didn't, like, put a thing on it. He didn't, he just let it happen the way it needed to happen. And what ended up happening is that, you know, people set multiple versions of, like, one lyric. You know, it would be set multiple times, and it became really clear that everything was really high quality. And so the decision was made to just record everything. And so I think that is really, would not have happened if he had said, here, you do this lyric, and you do this lyric, and, you know? Yeah. He let the thing happen, and then held back a few, you know, so that when everybody got there, then he set some up. So that just, you know, he knew how to kind of shape all of that. But yeah, it was definitely, it took on a life of its own pretty immediately.
I guess what I really liked was how your Lost on the River version was just so different. It was, you know, and I'm sure that's maybe one of the reasons why he did it for everyone, so that everyone could have a different interpretation of what that song was like to them. And, you know, you could be a little bit more soulful or a little bit more, you know, banjo folky or whatever. And I think it worked out like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what I think was really cool about it was that, like, it became something not just here we're recording this project. It actually became even, you know, this is how do you write a song? You know, it was a great sort of insight into the process. And, you know, when do we get the opportunity to see one set of lyrics set four different times?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a very rare thing. So, it, you know, that sort of developed into it. And it's just, I love it. I just love the whole record. And I love everything that we did. And, you know, I'm very grateful to have been a part of it.
So I guess you just need to wait for, in like another 20 years, for another set of Dylan lyrics to come out and be, you know, discovered. And then you can make a new one. Do like the new Basement Tapes Rediscovered or something.
Yeah, exactly. No, it'll be lost Carole King lyrics that she's forgotten about.
I like this.
Yeah, call me up, you know?
So you just need to tell all your famous, like, favorite artists, like, hey, lose your lyrics now, and then we'll rediscover them, you know, in about 15 years, and then I'll be right there for that project. Well, I guess the thing is, you've done a lot of Dylan stuff. I mean, obviously in the last year. Has Dylan given his stamp of approval on your covers and on your work?
Dylan gave the band, the Chocolate Drops, his stamp of approval in a... we opened for him once, and he came and met us and shook our hands, and that's evidently not the most common of occurrences. So
ooh.
I kind of feel like that was, you know, the whole, everybody in the band was like, I'm here for washing my hands, we did, you know. But I kind of feel like that was, you know, him saying, yeah, I approve of what you're doing. So that's cool to have that, you know, memory. In terms of the Basement Tapes, at least to my knowledge, he's just sort of left it all alone, which I think is smart, because, like, he gave the lyrics to T-Bone. Obviously, he trusted that he would mm-hmm. do something good with them, you know, and when they're lyrics that he wrote so long ago, I mean, I think the best thing is just leave them and not even be involved, because, like, how could that turn out well?
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? He's an inscrutable fellow. So, I mean, who knows what he really thinks about it? I mean, he could have put a stop to it at any point. I think the fact that it's out there means that he must not hate it.
Yeah. Or else he would have sued everyone. He would have been like, no, I'm taking it all back.
This is rubbish, you know. I'm destroying all of these tapes, you know.
Well, I mean, I think it was great. I think you all did a wonderful job with it. So if there ever is a future with the group again, I'd love to, you know, play it again on my show. But so I guess moving into your solo debut, that's coming out next month. I've already been listening to it. It's been great. How did you, or when did you decide on branching out from your work with the Carolina Chocolate Drops into this solo debut?
When you're kind of teetering on something, and you're pretty, you know when you're learning how to swim,
yeah,
and you've kind of put your toe in, and then you put your leg in, and you put your torso in, and you're treading water, and you're doing pretty good, but you don't want to put your head under,
mm-hmm.
you know, because the water's cold. And in terms of me as a solo artist, I was doing that, and I was happy doing that, and I had lots of plans to continue doing that for a while, and, you know, eventually I knew I was going to put my head under. So this guy comes up behind me and just basically dumps me. So that was T-Bone. I mean, that's pretty much what happened. I mean, it was like I was planning on doing another Chocolate Drop record, and was working on the material for that, and still have great plans for that. And you know, the band itself had been, you know, it's been kind of reconfigured. Mm-hmm. You know, had a couple of new people, and I was, you know, the only original member left, and You know, so I was like in the middle of all that, and I did this show, Another Day, Another Time, and then T-Bone was like, let's do a solo record. Now's the time.
So I guess you just mentioned it. I mean, the group of Caroline Chocolate Drops just had a bit of a lineup change recently.
Yeah.
I mean, is it safe to say that you're the group's still together, that you're still with the group, or are you taking hiatus?
No, absolutely. We played all last year with the new lineup, and it was a great success. And they're actually touring this record with me. We'll be doing stuff from the solo record. We'll be doing, but you know, solo record's 11 tracks long, so it's not a show. So we'll be peppering in Chocolate Drop stuff, and we're going to got all of the Basement Tape stuff that I sang together as well. So hopefully anybody who comes from any of those venues will be happy, you know, with the show. Yeah, so they're going to be with me, and we'll be working on material for the next project. And yeah, no, that's very much alive. And that's what I said, you know, when this solo record came out and my name started to sort of to take the place of the Chocolate Drops name in terms of like booking things. And so I just said, you know, I'm fine to do this, and I really believe in this project, the solo record. And you know, I do have something to offer as a singer, and I think that is important. And I have been, you know, I've definitely done my due diligence in terms of I've been in the string band for 10 years, and I feel really good about that. But I also want to continue that work because I think we have a lot more work to do, you know. So now it'll be about, like, how do those things, you know, go together? And
That you didn't have any bad blood, or you weren't like, okay, I'm giving up on this, and then maybe I'll come back 10 years from now. Like, it sounds like it's just you wanted to try something a little bit different but still be with the band and come back to it and still be friends and work together. And that's nice to hear.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, because I brought Hoppy Jenkins to the recording session with me, and a guy who used to be in the band, Adam Mata. You know, there was pieces of Chocolate Drops in the solo record, you know. And then, you know, I told all the, you know, the guys who had just joined, and I was just like, look, this is what's coming up, and, you know, I want to keep the band together, and we're going to be touring as a band all year, and then the next year it's going to change a little bit, and, you know, how do you guys feel about that? I mean, I'm all about, like, being very, very transparent, and just, like, I want to keep it together, and I want you guys to come with me. And they were all totally down with that. So, you know, it worked out really, really well.
There were three sailors, bold and true, with cargo they did carry. They sailed away on the ocean blue for the love of Spanish Mary. So deeply now were they disturbed, no longer could they tarry.
So with Tomorrow's My Turn, I mean, you have all kinds of covers and renditions on there from like Patsy Cline, Nina Simone, Dolly Parton, really great singer-songwriters. Was there a rhyme or reason to which songs made the record or which ones, you know, had to be cut out due to time constraints?
Yeah, it was kind of a long process. You know, when T-Bone said, you know, what kind of record, what's your dream record? And I was like, well, I got this short list of things that didn't really fit into the Chocolate Drops, but I was just kind of sitting on them until something came along. This seemed like the right thing. And so I added to that list. And as I was doing it, it just kind of, I felt this theme coming, which was like these women that I admire so much. And that had been kind of on my mind anyway, you know. And so I made this long list, and we didn't end up recording everything on there. We just kind of like went through in the studio and we're like, oh, let's do that one, or let's do that one, you know? And then we had this like 16 or 17 songs. That was actually kind of a hard process because even the resultant 11 song CD is fairly far ranging in terms of what we consider a record. And the other material even went further. So what we had to do was find what's the narrative here? What's the album? We have a lot of really great tracks, but we don't have an album yet. And, you know, all of us were really, really believe in the concept of an album. You know, I know in this age of singles and, you know, downloads and stuff, you know, it's a hard row to hoe, but, you know, we really believed in it. And so we just kind of fought for, not fought amongst each other, but like just fought for that concept. And so we went through several different, you know, what about this, you know, lineup of songs? No, what about this? Let's record something else. And so we had a couple of additional, you know. It was just kind of one of those things, but it was worth fighting for in the end because, you know, we were all really happy with what we ended up with. And, you know, we just wanted to make sure to really have it be cohesive. The main thing was to have it, even in its far-reachingness, I suppose, to have it be a cohesive album.
Yeah. Well, I could definitely see, I mean, you mentioned just like these iconic women and like wanting to do them respect. And I think this record is definitely a celebration of that. I mean, what, like 99% of the songs on the record are from women. And I mean, it's just, it's a great record for that, especially since you're almost like a contemporary, you know, you're almost like a protege in a way, bringing all these genres together with your own voice and song style. But I guess, what have your experiences been like in this kind of male dominated industry?
Well, I have to say, you know, and this is part of why I wanted to do this record is that, you know, is my acknowledgement of how lucky I am and the kind of struggles that the previous generations had to go through. And, you know, there's still struggle, of course, but I just felt like it was a time to stop and take stock and go, wow, these ladies had to really push through some stuff to get their art out there. And just like my appreciation for that and just my awareness of that and how I'm in this sort of line of people, like nobody exists in a vacuum and nobody comes to this stuff on their own. And, you know, we're all standing on the shoulders of somebody. So that's kind of really my feel about it because, like, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of dudes out there, especially like bluegrass and folk world. I mean, any musical world, really. I mean, it is dominated by guys. And I'm often the only woman in the room. And, you know, I was the only woman involved on the basement tapes, except for guests who came in. But it is just kind of a fact of life. But I myself have had so many wonderful people who helped me. And I had this incredible husband who, like, a generation ago may have said, no, I don't want you going out and performing like Etta Baker's husband did, or who may have said, well, I'm not staying with the kids if you want to have kids. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I feel so blessed because he's full-time caretaker of the kids, so that when I tour, you know, and we're not all together, he's there with them, and I don't have to worry about that. He's really supportive, and all of my team is very supportive. You know, the majority of them, yes, being men, but it's like Chris Rock said, I think he was talking about the race issue. He was saying, you know, there's been the same amount of worthy black people as always, but now sort of the culture at hand is realizing that these things need to happen. And I think that's mm-hmm. that's the thing, is that us women, we've been fighting for this for so long, but now there's all these men who are cool,
yeah,
you know, and who are supportive and there. So, I mean, I couldn't, any kind of story I'd be able to tell about being a woman in this industry would pale in comparison to, say, like Nina Simone mm-hmm. or Ethel Waters or any of these folks. So there's nothing really to relay.
You've had it easy compared to what they had to go through. Yeah,
exactly. And yeah. It's not to say that there's not still work. Well, there's tons of work to be done. But I think it's really important to, in the acknowledgement of the tons of work that needs to be done, to, like I said earlier, to take stock, because then you don't get depressed. Then you go, okay, look how far we've come. Okay, and then you get your renewed energy and you're like, okay, let's keep going.
Yeah. Well, I guess recently, just all the kind of like up and coming female artists like Iggy Azalea and all that, when they're on stage or anywhere, they're getting harassed and they're getting assaulted because people are taking their lyrics literally, or it's because the way they dress. And I don't know, it's sad. I mean, you're obviously right. There's still work to be done, but it's nice that, you know, we have husbands and boyfriends that are like, you go and do your thing and we'll be here if you need us. But, you know, you're great. Do what you need to do, because that's
right.
That's nice.
And there is all of that harassment and all that stuff. But then you also have people like Lady Gaga and Beyonce and these people who own their own image.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a huge difference. You know, I mean, I won't talk to the pop world because I have a lot of issues with a lot of the imagery that goes along, whether it's owned by the woman presenting it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a whole nother conversation. But, you know, that there are those aspects that I see which are great. But like you said, I mean, it is, there's still huge issues. I mean, that is without disagreement here. There's still, you know, a lot of stuff to do.
Black is the color of my true love's hair. His lips are like some rosy fair. The sweetest face and the neatest hands. I love the ground whereon he stands. Soft is the feel of my true love's skin.
I mean, you've collaborated a lot this past year. Is there anyone else that you have on your list of, like, people that you want to work with in the near future?
Oh.
Big question.
That's a big one. I mean, I'd love to do something with Bonnie Raitt. She's amazing. I'm still a big time into the classical world. So folks like Audra McDonald, or, you know, there's a lot of people I would jump at the chance to to collaborate with now that I'm kind of, you know, getting more into songwriting. I mean, I would be here all day.
That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, that's for me, that's the best part about sort of having a higher profile. It's not so much that I really care about fame, because I don't at all. But my thing is, like, getting invitations to work with people that I admire. That's all I ever wanted. It's like, if I can keep the lights on and do really cool projects, like, you know, the thing for Parenthood, working with Sam, and you know, just these projects that come up. I mean, I love it. I love them. And I mean, being able to work with Twyla Tharp, that was amazing. So these kind of things are what kind of I love about it. The rest, you know, the rest of it is kind of comes along with or whatever. But like, it's the collaboration for me. It's the collaborative process.
So what's your favorite track from Tomorrow's My Turn? What is your go-to, the one that you think embodies the spirit of the record? That could be three different songs. I mean, that might not even be one song. I could have just given you, like, three different questions there. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean, gee whiz.
You could just say all of them. All of them are your favorites.
Oh, well, you know, in terms of favorites, I can't really answer that, because they really are like children, you know? They're all so different. Like, my mom always says, you know, you're my favorite youngest child. And I always go, you're all my youngest child. Now I understand, you know, there's no favorite. It's whatever the quality that they each have, like, I love them the best for that quality, you know. I think some of the things that we did that were kind of outside the box, and I love the fact, you know, there were some things that were just really kind of faithful, just sort of to date, renditions of things. You know, slightly different, like, you know, like She's Got You, which is kind of like a different vibe, mm-hmm. but it's not too crazy. And then we have things like, you know, Black is a Color, which is totally out there, and Roundabout the Mountain, which is a folk version of a classical version of a spiritual, you know, which I love that kind of meta thing. And, you know, and then, of course, the title cut is Song. I really feel strongly about that song. I'm really happy with the way we did it. But the song itself is just, that was kind of the emotional center for how I was thinking about this record, watching Nina Simone do that on YouTube, and mm-hmm. just sort of, you know, being in the middle of that. And The Last Kind Words, I mean, God, doing that was amazing. That was all live in the studio. It was so fantastic. And that kind of standing for all of those women who were nameless and you know, who were doing their thing. And I don't know. That's a hard one.
No, it's good. No, I liked hearing you talk about each one, because you're right. You had, like, different emotions come about when you talked about each one. Like, you got a little bit more energetic or a little bit more slowed down, because they each kind of represent a different thing. But as a whole, it's like female empowerment, but also just beauty of songwriting back whenever each of them was written. So, yeah, I think it was great. You did a good job. Good job answering it.
Oh,
So I guess the last question then, what's 2015 going to be for you? Like, what are you doing? I guess you're touring, right?
Touring. You know, 2014 was creating, you know, it was a real, like, you know, I was touring with the band, but there was a lot of creating going on. You know, there's a lot of special projects. It was really incredible. I recorded more than I ever have in my whole life. And that was amazing. Now this year, I think it's making it live. Making these pieces live, really getting out there, touring, getting in front of people, and then I'm also working on the next record. I mean, I've got our songs I've already written and put in the show. I mean, you know, it's already halfway there. The year like last year only comes around, doesn't come around every day, you know, and that's probably a good thing, because, you know, it could get overwhelming. I mean, it's just like I had just enough that I could, you know, I felt like for one more thing came my way, I was going to, like, just fall into a little puddle and start crying, you know, I mean, not from not wanting to do it, but just from the sheer, just all of it, you know, it's just incredible, and I'm so grateful for it, and now I'm really, like, eager to hit the road with my guys and really just, you know, start putting the stuff out there and seeing what people think.
Yay. So I guess 2016, maybe look out for another record from the group?
If I have anything to say about it. Now, I will, you know, we don't always, because, I don't pay for these things, so, you know, the guys with the textbooks will probably have a say, but artistically, that's how I feel. Like, that's the arc that I'm feeling, so fingers crossed it all works out.
Those who may reach for the stars.
Rhiannon Giddens is releasing Tomorrow Is My Turn, her solo recording debut this month, and you can catch her on tour with Carolina Chocolate Drops this spring. To hear more from her new record, tune in to A Change of Tune, airing Saturday night at 10 on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. I'm Joni Deutsch. Thanks for listening.